Welcome to the Samantha J. Murphy Show, where we talk about life, love, health and well-being, and work towards building a happier life through conscious awareness and positive change. Hello and welcome to the Samantha J. Murphy Show. I'm your host, Samantha J. Murphy. Thank you for tuning in this week. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And if you get a spare minute, please give me a review because your feedback is always welcome. Anyway, on to this week's show. And today I have a very special guest with me. She's a board certified doctor in internal medicine with specialized training in holistic health and functional medicine. She has a busy practice that focuses on wellness and women's health. In particular, she helps women that are dealing with weight gain due to hormonal issues and menopause. And she has helped countless women successfully lose the weight with her holistic treatments. So let me introduce and welcome to the show, Dr. Emmy Hosada.
So good to be here with you, Samantha. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. So I just wanted to start off by asking you if you could tell us a little bit about your work and what you do.
Absolutely. I'm not sure why my video is this way.
Oh, don't worry. It's fine. I can see you. As long as I can hear you, that's all that matters.
Okay, great.
Okay.
My name is Emmy Hosada. I'm a board certified internist with specialized training in holistic and functional medicine, which means I try to really get to the root cause of things and address things at their, you know, most basic level. I try to avoid giving people a lot of medications if possible and try to treat things more naturally. So I brought that same approach to my weight loss practice. And really I kind of call it fat loss because you can actually not lose a gram of weight and lose a lot of fat and inches. And so, it's more body composition. So losing fat and gaining muscle is what I kind of try to emphasize. I try to get people off of looking at the scale all the time.
Right. Okay. So what role does hormones play in weight gain?
Big roles. So it's basically kind of the orchestra of hormones is what makes a person likely to lose fat or likely to hang on to fat. And as we know, like for instance, many people have no weight problems as they're young. And then as they get into the middle age, they get into the whole weight problem issue. And that's basically a hormonal phenomenon. So one of the big things is that nearly all of us at perimenopause or andropause get resistant to the effects of the hormone insulin and the hormone leptin. And I want to go over kind of what those are and what they do so that people understand what I'm talking about.
Yes, please do.
But before I do, I'm going to talk a little bit about perimenopause because there's a lot of misconceptions about that. A lot of people think that perimenopause starts in your 50s. Whereas really perimenopause or the changes that lead up to menopause start in your late 30s. And so many of these changes are occurring and women are actually presenting to physicians with them and being told, well, you're really far away from menopause. It can't be that, but it definitely can. So one of the changes that happens sort of first, even before the insulin change is a change in a hormone called DHEA. DHEA is basically a hormone that is made in the adrenal glands, which are these glands that sit on top of your kidneys. And DHEA has the important role of shutting off a fight or flight hormone called cortisol. So as you age and as you get over the age of 35 or so in both women and men, your production of DHEA can fall off. So what that does is it actually makes you less likely to be able to turn off this fight or flight hormone. And that causes a host of changes that, you know, have to do with body composition, but also other things too. For instance, your tolerance for stress actually can go down as you lower the amount of DHEA because you're unable to shut off cortisol, this fight or flight hormone. And in our society, cortisol is really important because cortisol was designed back when you know, we were hunter-gatherers on the savanna and we were running from predators. And so it's a hormone that's designed to spike up, for instance, when you're being chased by a predator. It ups your blood sugar and therefore it ups your insulin level, and it gets sugar to your muscles really quickly so you can run away. Well, the problem is that in our society, stress doesn't come in those packets of, you know, either the stress is over or you're over, like it would on the savanna with a predator. You have people who have chronic stress. For instance, their boss is really terrible at work, or they have a coworker that's bothering them, or they have a family situation that's going on and on. And so this cortisol stays elevated this whole time. And what happens there then is if you're unable to make the hormone DHEA, which shuts off the cortisol, which goes to the brain and sends a signal to shut this off, then you're going to chronically have this elevated level that's going to keep you not only hypervigilant, but it's going to pack on the pounds because it's upping your insulin level, trying to increase your blood sugar and really increase your risk of diabetes also. So that's change number one that happens before the whole insulin change happens. But it's one of the changes that can lead to the insulin resistance that we have. And it's one of the changes you can do something about. You can meditate, specifically a type of meditation called emotional freedom technique, or tapping can really help with this whole cortisol level issue. Right. And so that's something that I highly recommend to my patients. It's totally free. It can, you know, be 10 to 15 minutes twice a day and make a whole lot of difference in these changes that are coming as we age. But then there are other factors also, just the fact that we're aging and changes in our pituitary actually lead to these hormonal changes, which make us resistant to the effects of the hormone insulin. When people think of insulin as, you know, what diabetics take and it's supposed to just control blood sugar, but actually insulin is a hormone that has a lot to do with fat metabolism also. So insulin, you can think of as an anabolic hormone for fat, the way that testosterone is an anabolic hormone for muscle.
Right.
So when your insulin levels go up, basically you are going to be packing on the pounds. And so that means that even when you were younger and you could eat pastries and never gain a pound, once you get into that perimenopause, periandropause range, which happens in men too, just not as dramatically, then the same thing you were eating in your youth is going to impact you much, much differently, because now, instead of just having good insulin balance and taking care of this blood sugar load that you gave yourself, you're going to spike your insulin levels and you're going to pack on the pounds. So it's going to be really important to come up with strategies to stop blood sugar spikes. And that's something I talk about a lot in my Instagram posts, because I think that's really one of the main things that people get into, is that they just think, well, I ate all this stuff when I was younger, why can't I eat it now? And there's very specific reasons. You can age beautifully and you can stop the effects of these hormones, but you're just going to have to be a little bit more smart and a little bit more strategic in how you do it. And thankfully some wisdom comes with age, so we're able to do that.
Yeah, I think the problem is that a lot of people don't understand as they get older what is going on inside their body, which is causing weight gain. So it's very interesting you point out. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't even think about insulin and stuff like that being a factor, but it's clearly a massive part of how weight gain becomes more difficult to manage as you get older.
It is massive. And, you know, it's even more massive for those of us who have family histories of diabetes like I do. So for me, I used to weigh 235 pounds. I now weigh 135 pounds. And understanding this idea of insulin resistance was super important in you know, my weight loss journey. And I'm sure it's going to be very important to a lot of other people too. But I actually ended up having to use supplements because the hill to climb was so steep. And the supplements are natural and they have other good effects, but they actually really help the whole insulin resistance thing and made losing weight very, very simple. You know, I think what's really discouraging and heartbreaking to me is that people are told that, you know, if you just eat less and exercise more, you're going to be thin. And that's really not true if the hormonal changes that are going on are not addressed. And so my whole thing and the way that I approach this is, if you set the right conditions, anyone will be able to get to the right set point for their body composition. No one wants to have extra weight. And most people that I know are actually really trying, but they're kind of getting to the point where they're kind of hitting their head up against the wall because they're not given the right strategies. They're not given the right tools to deal with this whole idea of the, you know, extra fat gain that occurs as we age.
Yeah, definitely. And I've spoke to many clients that are going through menopause that are very frustrated because they, like you say, they're doing everything by the book, which you think you should be doing. They eat healthily, they exercise, they can't shift the weight, and they get to a point where they think, well, I might as well sit and eat a piece of cake because at least I'll feel happy that I'm having something that I like, because they're just not losing weight. So in that case, what would you say? I mean, does it depend on the individual, what they need to do? Yeah,
absolutely. You hit the head, you know, the nail on the head there, Samantha, because basically, you know, we're all genetically different and no one size fits all plan is going to fit all of us.
Right.
So, you know, while my problem might be insulin resistance, your problem might be a genetic defect in the way that you're processing B vitamins. And that's why you're not, you know, taking the weight off. So for me to just come at you with, okay, this is what you have to do to reduce insulin resistance, well, that may or may not be your problem. Now, if you're perimenopausal, 80% of the time, that's at least part of your problem, but it may not be the whole part of, you know, the whole thing that's going on. So for me, it's really important to do testing. And the testing involves multiple different facets of why people don't lose weight that you can think of. And I sort of do them all up front because I don't want people to waste time with, okay, well, let's try testing for this. And oh, that didn't work. And now they're like 5 or 6 months into this diet. We're continuing to test and not getting anywhere. So what I do is I just do all the testing up front. And that way I have all the answers for that particular person at the outset when I'm designing a program for them. So the things that I look at is that I actually do a complete genetic test. I look at, you know, how they're processing vitamins. Do they have issues with allergens and things that are going to increase inflammation in their body? Because fat actually is inflammatory. And when you have a lot of inflammatory molecules running around, you actually hang on to fat. Toxins also deposit in fat. And if you're very toxic, you're not going to be able to you know, get rid of fat. So I look at detoxification in the genetics. I look at how the genes that affect hormone balance have to do with hormone metabolism, how those genes do. So those are super important to me.
Wow.
And then I also do complete hormonal testing. So I get a good look at, you know, where's estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and the metabolites of those. How are you metabolizing those certain things? Are you hanging on to metabolites of estrogen that maybe your estrogen level doesn't look high, but you have these metabolites running around that are, for instance, making you estrogen dominant, and how do you hang on to weight? I look at the adrenals. So, you know, do you have a high cortisol level? Do you have trouble making DHEA? Because for most of us after the age of 35 or 37, we actually probably will need supplementation to correct the DHEA level. We can do a lot with lifestyle, but many of us will also need supplements in the form of an essential fatty acid called phosphatidylserine, which helps anti-age the adrenals. We might do well with some adaptogenic herbs like rhodiola or ashwagandha. So I look at the adrenals. I look at gut health because that's a big source of inflammation, which will hang on to water and weight. So I do a complete stool panel looking for, you know, if you're digesting your food, if you have inflammation, if food allergies are getting in the way, if you have what we call gut dysbiosis, which is a really big reason why people have, you know, the bloat is the kind of bacteria in their gut are not correct. And they're always going to look like they have a big stomach, even if they lose weight, if that is not corrected.
Right.
I look at thyroid function and not just the TSH. I mean, I've seen so many women that heartbreakingly were told their thyroid was totally normal because, you know, the doctor just ran one test and their problem was in their pituitary or was in something downstream that's occurring, like they're not converting free T4 to free T3, the active form of the hormone, which is actually something that also happens at menopause and andropause. You become less likely to make the active form of thyroid. And then they were told, well, your thyroid's normal, there's nothing to do about it. But actually there was many things that could have been done about it that would have helped with weight management. So that's another area that I really look at carefully. And I do check food sensitivities and food allergies both, which are two different things. Food allergies are actually an IgE mediated mechanism. It's an antibody that's made immediately when you react to something. Some people actually have a good clue about what their IgE food allergies are because they've reacted to that food and known about it right away. Right. But sometimes, you know, foods are mixed, and I've had patients that, for instance, had peanuts in a bar, didn't recognize it, and their issue was really peanuts. So it's somewhat helpful, but what's really helpful is IgG4 combined with complement. That food sensitivity testing is really helpful because with food sensitivities, unlike true allergies, a lot of times you don't know that you're reacting to that food because your reaction comes hours to days after you actually ate that food. And by that time, you've totally forgotten that you had an issue with that. So for instance, a lot of times people's gluten sensitivity is actually a sensitivity and not a true allergy. And so they're hanging on to all this water from their gluten sensitivity, and they don't really know even because, you know, they didn't eat gluten those 2 days right before, you know, they had the water weight gain. So I look at all of that because really, you know, for many people, it's a combination of those factors that has kept them from getting to their ideal body composition. And for me, it's really important to identify precisely what those factors are for that person and set on a course correction, because once that happens, really the weight will fall off.
Yeah, because you're just getting to the root of everything right there, aren't you? Just, you know, where people are not going deep into looking what they need to do to lose weight. So it makes so much sense. And do you combine the testing with obviously looking at people following a healthy diet and exercising as well? Yeah.
So step two after the test is actually, I meet with someone first, get their history and see if there's maybe specific tests also that are outside of my normal, you know, everything that I describe, but maybe there's something specific to them. Like they have a job that has a lot of toxins. So for them, I'll include some testing for toxins also, or whatever, depending on their history. So I do that first. We do all their tests, and then I meet back with them and we come up with a plan for them to balance their hormones, you know, address their food sensitivities and all of that. And then I actually pair them with a personal trainer and a wellness coach, both of whom are familiar with nutrigenomics, and I can give them instructions based on this particular person to basically counsel them on staying on course with their diet lifestyle. And that's not really a diet, but a lifestyle that they're gonna have to lead based on their genetics. And they can even be told like how often they can take a dietary break, because for instance, if you're not super insulin resistant, maybe you can cheat once a week, but if you're super insulin resistant, you're gonna wanna keep that to like once a month, for instance. So based on your genetics and your testing, we're going to tell you like, okay, this is exactly, you know, what your lifestyle needs to be like. And, you know, you'll have reasons to follow something rather than arbitrarily following a diet. It's going to be designed just for you. So the wellness coach actually is a specialist also on behavioral change. And so they actually help with, you know, how to integrate this into your lifestyle, how to make it so that it's something that you can manage, you know, breaking it up into packets of information that the person can digest. And then the personal trainer actually will have exercises that have to do with, you know, your orthopedic issues and also your genetics, things that are going to be important for you. Because for instance, if you have the ACE gene or the ACMTM3 gene, your exercise needs are going to be really different than someone that doesn't have mutations in those genes or a variant of those genes. For instance, if you have the ACE-D variant, if you start lifting a lot of weight, you're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, you know, you really need to have lighter weights and do more reps. Whereas if you have the ACE-I gene, you should lift heavier weights to really get more muscle definition. So knowing those genetic variants are really important in designing the exercise program that's really going to bring success. So the personal trainer and the wellness coach actually meet with the person about every other week. They take turns. So 1 week it's the personal trainer, 1 week it's the wellness coach. And then I actually check in with the person every 1 to 2 months to see how things are going, if they need fine tuning of something like in their hormone balance or something like that. And that's sort of how we proceed.
So it is actually possible for women over 50 to gain muscle, because I know that there's a misconception about that as you get older, well, that's it, it's all over. You just have to get on with it. And it is really interesting that you mention about the, you know, the different genetic makeup where training, depending on what the internal makeup is of you can really make a difference. So it is possible Absolutely. For women over 50 to actually gain muscle, which is very encouraging for a lot Absolutely. Of women listening, I'm sure.
Now, we may need a little more support. Like in my case, I needed collagen and alpha lipoic acid, which is also a supplement that really helps with detoxification. It helps with muscle maintenance. So we may need a little extra support to gain muscle, but we definitely can gain muscle and gain really beautiful muscle. So there's really no reason to be discouraged and to kind of listen to these naysayers like, oh, you know, this just happens with age. It doesn't have to. You know, we have science now, and there's things that we can do to really help people, you know, achieve what they want and really lead their best life. And to me, the tragic part is a lot of women, you know, they've arrived, they've achieved so much in their career, you know, they've raised their kids, now they're, you know, in their late 40s and their late 50s, and they're told, oh, like, this is just the script, that's how you're going to be. And the facts are really different. There's a lot we can do to make these the best years of your life, your most beautiful years, really. You know, I like to show people pictures of myself in my early 30s and now in my 50s. And I can wear clothes now that I could have never worn in my early 30s. I didn't have the time or the resources really to get myself to where I am now at that time.
Yeah, you look absolutely fantastic. I must say, Dr. Emma, you really do. You give people a lot of inspiration.
Thank you so much.
With what you do and what you've done, and to lose all that weight. How long did it actually take you to lose that weight?
So I have a little bit of a sordid story, which is a story of bad hormone balance, really. So I actually initially, you know, when I weighed 235, I initially first came upon sort of an organized and weight management program that made sense in about 2007. I had a friend who was an orthopedic surgeon who is very, very, he actually has a master's in public health and reads a lot of basic science literature. So he was leading a class on low glycemic index eating. And for the first time, someone actually gave me a supplement to lower my insulin resistance. I have a huge family history of diabetes. At the time I was pre-diabetic. So I took this supplement, and with his help and this low glycemic diet, I actually lost all the way down to 150 pounds at that time.
Wow.
But then I started a job at the hospital working ICU nights, which is super stressful. And, you know, I never got over 200 pounds again, but I got all the way back up to 190. So I gained 40 of the 85 pounds that I had lost. And then of course I hit perimenopause. So then I sort of had to figure out, like, what do I do? You know, and that's the point at which I actually implemented this program for myself. I did all the genetic testing, figured out what was wrong there, looked at my adrenals, my thyroid, corrected all of those things. And after that, it took me about 18 months to go from about 195 pounds down to 135.
Wow.
So, yeah.
A great achievement. Amazing.
Thank you.
Are there any essential supplements that you would say, a general supplement for women that they should be taking during the menopausal period or perimenopausal time? I know everyone's different, but just a general that you would advise for people?
So the one that's probably, you know, unless you have kidney disease or a neurologic disease that keeps you from taking this, magnesium would be the one that I like the most. If I were to pick one supplement, and it would be either magnesium in the form of a glycinate and malleate, or magnesium in threonate form. And if you have more sleep issues, I would go with threonate because it's stronger. Neither of those types tend to cause a lot of diarrhea, although they do normalize bowel function a little bit if you're constipated. But what they really do is help with sleep and muscle relaxation, which are two things that come, you know, come to really a lot of problems as we go through menopause and andropause. So if I had to pick one supplement that's very economical, that would be the one. Probably number two, as long as you don't have any allergies to it or bad acid reflux, would be curcumin. And with curcumin, it's really important to get a third-party tested source that's mycelized in oil, either a curcumin oil or a non-inflammatory oil.
Right.
Because that really helps with inflammation and hormone balancing. It really helps get rid of bad estrogens. Of course, lifestyle is super important. So looking at xenoestrogens, not drinking out of plastic, looking at your makeups and all of those things to make sure they don't contain parabens. Eating organically is also really important in hormone balance, but curcumin helps a bit by getting rid of the worst kinds of estrogens. You know, for people who have insulin resistance, I've actually designed a supplement that's very pointed at that. So it's for insulin and leptin resistance, mostly for those in the perimenopause or periandropause period. And that one has a berberine, but it's a berberine that comes from Kerala, India, which is a very non-industrial part of India. And it's actually a wildcraft berberine coupled with two substances that have a lot of data behind them. One is a yeast brown chromium called GTFXL chromium, which is very safe for the kidneys. A lot of people who have insulin resistance are chromium deficient, but chromium can be kind of harsh on the kidneys, and this particular one is safe for anyone, does not affect the kidneys, so I love that. And then the other is something called Eat Less, which is a substance that was originally studied in Korea. It's a beta-glucan extract of yeast, and some people probably have heard of beta-glucans like in the immune system or for lowering cholesterol or in osteoporosis, but beta-glucans actually really help with leptin levels also. So in my supplement, I've combined these three things into something called Insulect Slim, which actually, you know, looks at insulin and leptin levels at menopause. So that's one that I recommend to most people. You know, there's a few people who aren't insulin resistant at menopause, but those people usually don't have weight issues. So for those of us who are experiencing menopause-related, you know, fat gain, that particular supplement is really helpful and targeted towards that particular issue. So,
okay, great. So if people want to book an appointment with you or contact you, Dr. Emmy, can they do it through your website? Is that the way to go?
Yes, absolutely. So they can go to my website, which is Vibrant Wellness Clinic. MyVibrantWellness.com, but it's the Vibrant Wellness Clinic. So MyVibrantWellness.com. And there's a little link to contact us, so they can send, you know, an email there or send an email to info@myvibrantwellness.com, and they can get set up for a 15-minute meet and greet to talk to me about, you know, what their needs are. As far as licensing, I'm licensed in Washington State and Texas for, you know, being a regular medical doctor, but the weight management program I do sort of nationwide, because that is something that, you know, just involves testing and advice and usually supplementation. You know, if you need more in your state and I'm not licensed in that state, I can work with a local naturopath or functional medicine doctor, you know, if you need prescriptions or something like that, that we uncover in the testing. So that's kind of how to work with me if people are interested in that.
Right. And you can do stuff remotely.
Yes. And the entire weight, you know, the whole fat loss program is basically remote. It's designed to be remote.
Okay. So you can just send people the tests and then they send them back, or is that how it works?
Exactly. So I order the majority of the tests through a national lab. So they just basically get entered into the computer of this national lab, and you get a printout also that you take with you. And you can get them drawn. And then the stool testing, the saliva testing for hormones, saliva testing for the genetics, you know, we can do basically, we just send them to you and you can do them yourself and send them out. So it's pretty easy to do all of that.
Right. Okay. And you've also got social media as well.
I do. So I'm on Instagram at dr.emmy on Instagram, and then doctor, and it's spelled out. So DOCTOR.EMI on Instagram, and then Dr. Space Emmy on Facebook, and on Twitter, which I'm not very active on, it's Dr._Emmy_, but I don't do too much on Twitter. I'm mostly on Instagram. That's really my favorite place to be on social media because it's so visual, and I think you can get across a lot of points so well, you know, in video and all that. So
yeah, and there's some very interesting informative videos that you do on there that I think people should definitely check out and get some good valuable information from.
Thank you so much, Samantha.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I know that you've given hope to a lot of menopausal women out there that are banging their heads against the wool trying to lose weight. So thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we can have you again on the show. It'd be lovely to talk to you again if you ever want to come on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Samantha. It was really a pleasure talking to you. I just love speaking about this issue because I know for me, it's been something that has plagued me much of my life. And so I really just want to give everyone hope and let them know that there's a lot you can do, and don't be discouraged because these are your best years and they can be your best years. Definitely. So.
Exactly. 50 is the new 20.
Exactly. Exactly. It is.
Okay, Dr. Emmy, thank you so much again for your time, and you have a great rest of the day. Take care.
Thanks. Thank you, Samantha. It's a pleasure joining you.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. As usual, I'll be posting this episode on Instagram, SamanthaJMurphy7, Facebook, SamanthaJMurphy, and Twitter, SamanthaJMurph7. So if you'd like to add any comments or interact with each other on these platforms, please do, because your experience could help somebody else. And if you know anyone that would benefit from listening to this, please feel free to share it with them. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Cheers.